Tommy's here.
Hey, Tommy, how are you?
Doing well, sir. How are you?
Good, good.
I was on both of those calls Monday, but I was walking out of meeting, so I didn't introduce myself as I hopped on, but did listen all the way through. Good stuff.
Yeah,
We're
you're probably really. Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, I was just talking to Tommy's on, and I was just going to mention that we had a couple good calls on Monday that he listened in on. So you're getting it now, Tommy?
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's a big, it's fun. It's fun. Those are good calls. Okay, so who's on? Good morning.
We have the whole Oracle team.
Got the whole team. Okay. So as I usually do, I ask what's on your mind before we get started.
Well, I think the number one thing is the pace. We're struggling with the pace. We listened to this is Brian, by the way.
Brian.
Watched and listened to the video and heard some of the, by now you should have done this. And in the meantime, we're also running our business. We are moving the ball down the field with, you know, the concepts of what you're talking about. But in the meantime, we're not, like, dropping our day-to-day business activities, you know, with meeting clients and financial planning with clients and checking in with clients. So we're all simultaneously moving households out, but we also have families with needs and, you know, other things like that. So it's hard to say, okay, there's no possible way I could have talked to my 20% and let them know about what I'm doing well. So that's probably the number one struggle is the pace of it all. So
well, you're about to get a break.
Okay.
Next week is Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So now that means family and no work, but at least you don't have another week of calls. And then the following week is the 5th, and I have me heading out for a business meeting. So I don't have any calls on Thursday, so I think we skip that week too.
Okay.
And then I think we resume on the 12th. Yes. So we don't resume until the 12th. So this is Brian, this is what happened. It looks like, oh my God, you know, you're going at this breakneck speed and we're in the 19, you know, 30 Model A and you expect us to be going 70. And this thing goes 45, and that's it, and we can't keep up, okay? And then what happens is something like this happens, and you get an extra 2 weeks to catch up, and then you're like, shoot, okay, we caught up, because we're still moving. So just try and keep moving, though. Don't take 2 weeks off because we're not meeting, you know, because you need to catch up. You don't have to be perfect. As long as you're, if we were meeting regularly, I would still tell you, don't worry. As long as you're moving forward, the pace can vary. Because you can imagine, you know, I'll take on private wealth advisors and private bankers who have 50 clients and they want to get to 40. Well, their segmentation's a joke, right? There's hardly anything to do. So they're ready to go. They're ready to go in week two into organization and acquisition.
Okay.
Whereas other teams I take on, they've got 1,000 accounts, and they're going to be in week six and still struggling with segmentation. So, we have structure in order to keep everybody moving, but the advantage of private calls like this is that you don't have to, the class doesn't have to move at the class's pace, it can move at your pace because it's your program.
Okay.
So we customize it for you. Okay?
Sounds good. That was the main thing. I don't know if anybody else had anything on their mind in the room here.
Well, how is it going in terms of progress? How are you feeling about, you know, understanding the process and scripting yourself to call clients? How are you doing on that stuff?
Anybody?
Yeah, I think Robert. Time spent this week was focused on defining min-max numbers for our team, which I feel like we've got a really good grasp on that, where we want to go. And then the COIs and the niches,
good.
I feel like we can start to check some boxes there and start to move down this path.
Okay. Well, tell me what you discovered in your niches and the homework you did on min-max and all that.
Yeah, so niches for us, we're in Office Furniture City USA up here in Grand Rapids area. So Herman Miller, which Brian was employed at Herman Miller for numerous years, right, Brian?
Mm-hmm. 10 years.
He's got a lot of clients on the books currently from Herman Miller. We know that plan inside and out. We know what their rollovers look like. I come from a Steelcase family who's a direct competitor of Herman Miller. So Office Furniture being one. Small business owners is kind of Mark's, one of Mark's specialties. Is that fair to say, Mark?
I'm going to be strong with
you.
And another one is blueberry farmers.
Okay, beautiful.
Yeah. A few of my largest top 10 clients are blueberry farmers.
That's awesome. Such a nice niche. It's very narrow.
Yeah.
Now, it may not, you know, have the capacity to, you know, you can't, I mean, it's pretty narrow in the sense that there's only going to be so many, but the question is, how many actually are there that would meet your minimum, and how many do you have of that number?
Right.
That would be the next forensic analysis. I've had a lot of experience in working with companies in penetrating them. So when it comes to Herman Miller and Steelcase, we can spend some time on that. I'm sure you've done a great job. And I'm interested in hearing. And if I can just add my experience, we had 9 FAs making a living on one company in Indianapolis. So that was amazing. So I understand how to penetrate companies. And we always think we have more than we have as a percentage. So, you know, there's always more opportunities when it comes to companies.
But when will we have that, Rob? Will that discussion pop up in the future?
Yeah, whenever you want it. I mean, happy to do it now. But one of the things we want to get to today is getting some of the particulars down in terms of double checking on your min-max. How do you feel about that? Are you solid on that?
Got
a million, two and a half million, or where?
Team's definitely in agreement as far as the maximum number of clients. Our minimum amount came out to be right around 1960, so we rounded up to $1 million. I think our absolute minimum, we went with $500,000, which again, I'm going to call that baby steps. That's a step in the right direction. And those numbers do seem to work for us.
And your target minimum was 2.5?
Target minimum for us was $1 million.
Why did I have 2.5?
Because I think you averaged the top 20% or whatever.
Was there a dream target in there somewhere?
I think that's actually correct. I think 2.5 is the number. But it might be 2, but it's not $1 million. I know that. Based on what you told me. I think I divided 400. I took your revenues and divided by 400 clients.
That what you're saying, that's what you're looking for.
Right, that's who we're hunting. That's our Steelcase or Herman Miller prospect.
Yeah. There's not going to be a lot of those.
Those are white collars.
You know, at... That would be only executives at Herman Miller. So,
but that's, I mean, partly, guys, we want to, I mean, don't think in terms of limitations on where you're going to find them. And, you know, I want you to think mathematically here, at least initially. Mathematically, your top 20%, the average of your top 20% is $2.5 million. Okay? Now, it might be 2.4, it might be 2.6, it might even be 2, but it's not 1, okay? So, the idea, think about this, it's a crazy concept, but think about never having more clients ever. No more. So, all of them that come in have got to be bigger than the ones we have if we're going to grow.
Okay.
All right. Never more. You know, the old more is better is gone. Because more is crazy. So we're gonna have less and better. So in order to grow, we want more of those people that are running the show. And the people that are running the show are the top 20%. So if we can duplicate those 20 or those 40, okay, or those 100,
if we
can duplicate them, we double our business almost.
Right.
So, you know, if we're going to make this job as easy as possible, no minimal work. Okay? I don't want you to work any harder. I want you to work more focused, but no more hours. I want you to we got to do our boulders and get scheduled and call people and fire people and all that stuff. But once we're done with that, we don't need to ever put in more hours. So you don't need to work, quote, harder. You just work smarter. And smarter means we duplicate the top 20% because it takes just as long to open up one of those as it does to open up one at the bottom. So why do we want to work hard with lots of little guys? So we want to really focus on getting that top 20%. If we got the top 20% when we weren't as smart as we are now, why can't we get them now? You know? We're smarter now, right? We're older, we're smarter, we're wiser. So why can't we have all, you know, the next 20 clients that come in look like the top 20%? Because it takes focus and it's restrictive. And, you know, I don't know all those people. Well, you don't know all those people yet. But let me tell you something, they're there, okay? You just have to go get them. But if you're focusing on $500,000 clients, let me tell you, you are not going to get $2.5 million clients. So everybody on the team has to be thinking, where are we going to get the next $2.5 million client? Not where are we going to get the next $500,000 rollover. The $500,000 rollover was the old practice. The new practice is we want that $2.5 million client that has potential to bring us $5 million or $10 million. And they're there, okay? We just have to hunt for them a little harder. But if we're not looking, we won't find them. So we have to rebrand ourselves as a team that works with high net worth clients, not as a team that takes anybody. Okay, so we kind of give up that, just like you gave up high school, you gave up college, you gave up the single life in order to move on. Okay, now you're senior producers, specialist, and you give up the small accounts and that simple business in order to manage a more complex business that pays you better. And the market will reward you for that. And they'll admire you for that. And they'll talk about you. These guys are really good. Their minimum is $2.5 million. They're really good.
Sounds good.
Okay. So it's just a mindset, pure mindset. And also remember, you do have airplanes and you can travel to people that have money. Because people that have money know people with money and they can refer people with money. They just might not be geographically right there. Okay? So we just think a little bit bigger. All right, so I'm putting down $1 million as your absolute minimum and your target minimum at $2.5 million.
All right. Agreed.
All right. So that's what your coach is for, to push you a little bit more than, remember the high school coach and the college coach who played college sports that pushed you and saw more in you than you saw in yourself? That's my job. My job is to push you. Okay. So, because you don't want to be the same people before Supernova that you are after. You want to be different people. You want to be, it's like you get your CMA or you get your CFA. You're going through a program to raise your game. And so you want to be different people by the end, in terms of your professional attitude about yourself. Okay, so this week we focus, and the reason I didn't want to get in too much into the niches yet, we can go back to that, and we will. I wanted to get into the five-star model because it takes a bit of effort and time to understand it. So you listen to the video and you watch the video and you, have you talked about the five-star model? Where are you guys on that?
Anyone? You talking about all the BPs?
Yes.
We were trying to initially wrap our arms around that concept. I think we understand the concept of needing each member on the team to be responsible for those categories. We have not gotten to the point of naming the actual people for those categories. I think we're still kind of wrapping our arms around the pace. That was kind of the main topic of our conversation. So,
okay.
But yeah, we did discuss the VPs and how we agreed with, sort of naming people on the team for that, for each category.
Okay.
They named me VP of multiple other categories too. So.
All right. So we kind of are using director now rather than vice president. You can use vice president or you can do director. It's up to you guys. I'll use the term director. It's a little less offensive or whatever. I mean, it's just kind of cool.
Gotcha.
So we use director of planning, implementation, brand management, marketing, and leadership. Now, all right. So the key, you guys know, the key to successful teams is a clear vision where we're going, clear responsibilities, and then holding ourselves accountable to our responsibilities, all right? Where teams break down is no clear vision, no clear accountability, and no clear responsibility, and then no accountability, all right? It's as simple as that. It's not any more complicated than that. The great teams hold themselves accountable to each other, just like warriors or fighters are responsible to each other and hold each other accountable and are completely dependent on each other in order to be successful in their missions. Okay, whether it's a Navy SEALs or it's a football team or whatever it is, any team needs to hold themselves accountable. And I've become convinced over time that this is the single most important part of teams' success. We can dance around the issue, we can talk about it, but in the end, if you don't hold yourselves accountable to each other, then it's just the team thing is a nice idea, but it brings very little leverage and you don't get the benefits. And you don't make the progress that you should make. And you don't have the fun. You don't have the success. So to me, you got to do this and you got to do it well. Or you're just a bunch of people working together. So this is very important to get yourselves to the point of taking true responsibility for what it is that you have been assigned to. If you choose to be the director of planning, then you take full responsibility for planning on the team. The quality of the planning, the breadth and depth of the planning, how often we revisit the plans, that's your responsibility. If you're the director of implementation, you are responsible for the quality of the investment process, the whole thing. Now, other people can contribute as they would to planning. Everybody does planning, but one person is responsible. In terms of the investment process, one person has to be responsible for the investment process. So we could deliver a consistent client experience. If you don't, you have all kinds of crazy things going on, and performance suffers. So you take it really very, very seriously. And the quality of that person is also in charge of the 24-month calendar and is, quote, the training officer for the team. So they are the person responsible to make sure that the 24-month calendar is set and that before we enter into a new two-month period, every person on the team understands what it is that we're going to be doing on the agendas. What is that we're going to be talking about? For the next 2 months, we're going to be talking about required minimum distributions and tax selling. Okay? And so the question is, what are our strategies for doing that? And how are we going to do it? And how do we make sure everybody has been contacted and we don't leave anything on the table that should be done? Right? So let's take March. We're going to focus on making sure that we have got beneficiaries are correct for every single client on every single thing that they own. So if they own an annuity away from us, we want to know who the beneficiary is. We're not doing this to make money. We're doing this to avoid a catastrophic mistake. If, in fact, the party dies and it's and the asset is still in the name of the former. The beneficiary is in the name of the former wife. Because we want to avoid the lawsuit that the kids are going to bring against our client. So the attention to detail is really important, but that job is a really important job. The director of brand management is in charge of Supernova and the entire client experience. That person can think of them as the team manager, the person that runs the team. They are in charge of the meetings. They're in charge of the scoreboard or the game boards. They're in charge of making sure that everybody is aware of their calendars, all appointments are set and kept, and that all problems are solved. 1 hour response, 24 hour resolution. Very important job. Director of marketing and growth is in charge of the growth of the company. If the company grows, they get credit. If the company doesn't grow, they get the responsibility of that. So it is more than just a marketing job. It's a job that says, hey, we're turning over responsibility for how this company grows to you. Everybody does their role, but you tell us what we need to do. And that person holds the team accountable to the growth. And then the director of leadership is the person that holds everybody accountable. They meet with every person on the team once a month. They review their roles and responsibilities. They have professional development and personal development, which they review with the leader. And the leader makes sure that everybody on the team is doing their job. And in turn, when everybody's doing their job, the leader is then doing his or her job. So done right, it's a miracle. Done wrong, it's just another team trying to pretend they're a team. So I've seen it done really well. I've seen it done sort of well, and I've seen it done poorly. So it's up to you guys how seriously you take it. But if you take it seriously, it'll be the answer to your productivity and your growth and your futures together. That's why teams are great. But, you know, people can hide on teams. People can shirk their duties. And if, you know, the biggest problem we have is a failure to hold people accountable, failure to want to confront friends with issues. And it's just, there's no place for that on a really good team. Your role is to do your job, and your role as a leader is to hold people accountable. And if you don't want to do that, then don't be the leader. Have somebody else be the leader.
What is your position on, Rob, what is your position on people wearing multiple hats?
It's great. You guys can roll this with any way you want it. You can have, you know, but in the end, accountability is accountability. When there's two people in a role and they don't do their job, very easy to point a finger at the other one and say, hey, he didn't do his job or she didn't do her job. When there's one person ultimately responsible, there's no hiding. So that's the only thing that's the caveat I would throw out.
Okay. Where does the gatekeeper fall in this? Is that the marketing person, or is that a different person?
That would be the director of brand management would be the quote. I think you're referring to a gatekeeper, the person that kind of welcomes people and.
Well, make sure that we stick with the minimum min max.
That would be the brand management, right? They're kind of your compliance officer within the organization, and that has two, you know, there's compliance to compliance, and then there's compliance with your strategy. So they hold you accountable. So at the end of the year, they say, hey, we've done great. Congratulations. That means we raise our minimums.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, just think about it, right? The more successful you are, the more uncomfortable you're going to continue to be because you're going to continue to have to raise your minimums, which is good, by the way. Because once you get comfortable, then you're, you know, things are all set. You don't have to work, right?
Right.
So the game is to everybody be kind of get comfortable being in permanent white water. Because that's the world we live in.
Okay.
Okay. So really have a heart-to-heart on this thing with each of you. Now, I think it's chapter 7 in the Supernova Multiplier goes into excruciating detail on roles and responsibilities in the 5-star model. So make sure everybody reads that and you discuss it and then be willing to take on that role and responsibility. If you do this right, you'll really have fun with this if you do it right. You'll really do amazing things.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Hey.
That's our charge. That's our next thing.
That's your next thing. That's a big one. Because if you get it, if you get this, that's why I introduce it in week 3. Because if you get this part of it, guess what? Every single thing we do from now on is somebody's responsibility. So everybody's swimming down their own lane, helping the team do their part of the role. It isn't everybody looking at each other, wondering who's going to be building folders or who's going to be coming up with the 24-month calendar or who's going to be doing this or that, who's in charge of investments or who's doing this. No, everybody knows exactly what they're supposed to be doing. And so every week they're working on their projects and swimming down their lane while everybody is swimming down their own personal lane. So everybody's busy, but they're not sitting there watching somebody build folders. Okay? It's not four people watching one person dig a ditch. Everybody's digging. Everybody's working. So done right, productivity will go up. And it'll be a multiplier of what you were doing before. You'll get a 2x or a 3x of what you were getting before. And that's the key.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Hey,
thanks.
John, happy Thanksgiving. And, you're fine. Just, you know, make sure you know your scripts. Contact your clients. Get the good news out. Let the other people that you're going to be reassigning, get them reassigned. It'll happen faster and faster. Keep the conversation short. Make sure you have the introduction to their next person if you're going to reassign them to somebody else. You know, make that happen quickly and easily. Don't dwell on the long conversation about why, you know, we've changed our business practices. Try and make that as smooth as possible, and the more you do, the quicker it goes and the easier it goes.
Sounds good.
Okay?
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. All right.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Let me know if I can help.
Thanks, Tommy.
Bye.
See you.